Welcome to this fantastic episode of Coffee with Source. I am joined today by my guest, Simon Bowne, who's a clinical hypnotherapist, podcast host, and we're going to dive into a conversation all about past lives. Is that correct, Simon?
Yeah, that's what I specialize in with clinical hypnotherapy. I specialize in past life regression therapy, which can be quite powerful. And also, you know, just hypnotherapy can be quite powerful as well. It's amazing what it can do.
Absolutely. I agree. I love the possibilities that hypnotherapy provides for us as the therapist, but also as the client. So much liberation. So I guess what I'm curious about is, what are the breadcrumbs that you follow that led you down that path?
Well, I've had an interest in paranormal since I was very young. I remember 10 years old, taking the books from the local public library to read up on all sorts of things. In those days, I was just interested in everything. It could be UFOs and Bigfoot and ghosts and all sorts of things. But as I got older, my interests kind of changed and focused. And so when I was in my 20s, I went to a place in London called the College of Psychic Studies. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a student there, but you could book time with student mediums and psychics. And then you could book time with the teachers, who were very experienced mediums.
Is that Arthur Findlay?
Sorry?
Is that the Arthur Findlay College?
No, the Arthur Findlay College is north of London.
Okay.
The College of Psychic Studies is in the center of London.
I had no idea it existed.
So I booked a session with a woman who'd take you through a past life regression. So that was my first one, somebody taking me through it in the late 1980s. And since then, I've been taken through several. And also, I remember seeing mediums way back then as well, and they would say to me things like, you're going to be a healer when you get older. And that just didn't make sense for me at all at the time. But, you know, it's a few years ago, I got my diploma in hypnotherapy, and it seems to be all coming true. And it's weird that these different mediums who didn't know each other were all telling me the same thing. So I decided I wanted to get much more into this and take people through past life regressions, but I wanted to be sure that I was properly trained as a hypnotherapist, mm-hmm. and that I knew it properly and in depth. So I did a course that was 10 months, and we practiced on each other in the college a lot, all the different students. So I've been hypnotized literally hundreds of times, and I love it. It's such a nice, relaxing state to be in. Mm-hmm. And
What triggered the inspiration? Was it your first session being brought back to your past life?
You know, it's interesting you used the word inspiration, because somebody said to me that the word is inspiration. If you look at it, it means in spirit. Mm-hmm. Inspiration, and it's kind of this thing, it's like the spirits will put something in your mind, in your mm-hmm. subconscious, and you think it's your idea, but actually it's them trying to nudge you in a certain direction and inspiring you for something. And so you know why I moved into this, I think maybe I was on a spiritual path my whole life, having such interest in all these different things, and then having these weird experiences actually happen to me that
can you share one or two of those? I'm pretty curious.
Yeah, I mean, it's a thing where, first of all, I've got to say I'm a skeptic as well. I'm not you know, completely believing everything. And there's a guy over here called Stuart Alexander, and he's a physical medium. And he's the medium, but he says he's surprised how many people you leave their critical thinking at the door, and they come in, they just believe everything. And he wants people to be skeptical of what he's saying, and he wants people to go out and check what he said. And so you know, there's this saying that keep an open mind, but not so open that your brains fall out.
Yeah, I like that.
So, but yeah, I wanted to say that. So when I tell you these things that happened to me, I was a skeptic and I still am quite skeptical, but they were a kind of a real kick to me. It's like somebody was, well, the spirit world was giving me a little slap. It's like, hey, pay attention. So I had a friend in New Zealand who was getting married. This was about 25 years ago. And she'd invited me to the wedding and I was in London. And she said to me, just as a little wedding present, could I get us some kind of cheap touristy thing from London, sort of a joke present? So I was right in the center of town and I was walking down this road. And it was a nice sunny day. And then suddenly, it seemed for 30 seconds I was with her in New Zealand, and it was like a really powerful vision. It wasn't just daydreaming, it's an actual sight in my imagination. It's so hard to describe it, but for those 30 seconds I saw myself sitting next to her in her car, and she was driving us through Christchurch in New Zealand. We were having this conversation. And then like 2 weeks later, when I got there, it happened exactly as I had seen it when I was walking down this street in London. Wow. The conversation and even the street signs, I remembered the road names. And there's a particular look to that part of Christchurch and suburbia, the way the houses are, the colours they are, and the way the roads are laid out and the way it all looks. And I'd never been there before. I'd had no idea what Christchurch looks like. But it was exactly as I'd seen it, just that 30 seconds. And so that was one thing that, you know, when I was there, that freaked me out a little bit. But then another time I saw a UFO. And it's not that I would say I definitely saw an alien spaceship, but I saw something that was very strange. And that was just 200 feet from me, this craft about the size of a big house. Didn't move an inch the whole time. And it was only, I'd say, 50, 60 feet off the ground. And it was just sitting there, silent, lights all over it. And when I was looking at it, you know, you get that kind of mental checklist. You think, well, it's not a helicopter. It's not a hot air balloon. It's
try to rationalize aircraft. It.
Yeah. And because I was in the car and I was driving and I dropped my speed to maybe 5 miles an hour, and I was leaning forward, looking up at it through the windscreen. So that's another thing that was obviously very strange. And it wasn't just a little light off in the sky in the distance. It was an actual craft taking up a portion of the sky right in front of me.
That's pretty cool. So,
yeah. And so being taken through past life regressions as I was, one of those, I saw myself as a child in a park, and it was 2 years later I found that park, and it was in a part of London I'd never been to before.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's an odd park as well. It's on a really steep slope, and it's not like you'd imagine town planners to, hey, this is a great place for a park. It's not. It's a huge slope. So you get these little things like, they're almost supernatural or paranormal in some way, or spiritual things. And they're each time it's just a little kick. And I sometimes think that some people get what they call a spiritually transformative experience, like a near-death experience. Mm-hmm. And that's one huge kick for them. But then there are people like me who get lots of tiny little kicks through their life, leading them on this path to where they're supposed to be. And, you know, I wonder if my whole life was designed to lead up to this point of being somebody who can take people through past life regressions, and we can go into reincarnation. And also part of the session that I do is we go through the death of the past life. Mm. And when we see that, I mean, I've done so many sessions, and I think twice I've seen a traumatic death. Usually people are just old and they're in bed and they just kind of drift away and they feel this great sense of relief. And then we go into this afterlife space and we can meet with, say, your spirit guides and ask them some questions about your life, like, why are you here and are you on the right path and all these sorts of things. And the clients can get such great insight on one side by seeing a past life and on the other side by talking to these spirit guides.
Now, I think this is so fascinating, but I'm sure you've heard of Dolores Cannon. She's trending everywhere right now with this mass conscious awakening going on. Have you witnessed any, you know, anything incredible in your sessions where, you know, take Jesus and the Essenes for an example, have any of your clients ever, you know, described being someone that we would know in history?
No, I've never come across that. And I've done many, many sessions and never seen somebody claim to be anybody famous in a past life. I mean, I have talked to a lot of other past life regressionists because that's part of my podcast, is these are the people I talk to and I interview. And, you know, I've had somebody who said they've had three people who thought they were Mary Magdalene. And there was a lady I just interviewed called Karen Joy. She's Australian. She said that she's had four people who, when she took them into that afterlife space, they met Jesus.
Mm.
And one of them said he looked like Bob Marley. And another one said he was like 6 foot tall, white, blonde hair, blue eyes. And so each one of these four people described him in a completely different way. You know, and it's like you just don't know what to make of it. Because
do you think that, you know, a lot of intuitive mediums will say that your loved ones will come and present themselves in a session to you in a way that would make you feel most comfortable or the most relatable? So do you think those experiences are the client who is, you know, feeling the essence of Jesus through Bob Marley because subconsciously part of their mind finds comfort and trust in the Bob Marley that we know? Is that possible?
Yeah, I think so. I think that, Jesus is a spiritual entity and exists in the afterlife, so he would be able to present himself to you in mm-hmm. any way he wants. And he'll choose an image that works best for you. I've been reading a book today because I've got a client coming on soon. It's called Angelic Attendance. Mm. And she's Catholic. And she said that she's a medium and she can see angels, and that she sees them in a white robe with big white wings. And they're like maybe 7 feet tall with long blonde hair. But she says herself, she sees them like that because she's Catholic. If you were Hindu, you'd see a completely different image.
I believe
that.
But
it would still be the same spiritual entity.
And we feel the essence, right? The energy of that being.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. I talked to somebody called Howard Storm who had a near-death experience. And during that, he said he met Jesus when he was in this afterlife space. And I said, well, how can you be sure it was really Jesus? Because that's quite a big claim. He goes, oh boy, if you know, when you're there, you know, you can feel it. So it's like you say, you feel that essence.
Yeah, you feel the essence. I think you know, and also what we forget in the physical world is that the non-physical, there's no time, distance, right? It's all space. It's all a collective consciousness. Because one might argue, well, if Jesus is speaking to Howard while he's having his near-death experience, and he's communicating with someone else at the same time, how is that possible? They must be hallucinating. But I do think that, you know, if you think of it in terms of consciousness, he's not there physically at this point in time, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's a thing where I have an emblem on my podcast logo, and it looks like a man underneath a tree with all these leaves above him. But what it symbolizes is that the individual you see at the bottom, I said man, actually it could be man or woman, but well, actually that's your soul. And if you imagine a tree has got all these leaves on it, and all those leaves for the soul are a life that's being lived. And just like a tree, all those leaves are alive at the same time. So the soul, as there's no time in the afterlife, can experience all of its lives, all of its reincarnations in the same moment. And it also kind of goes to show how the soul is so much more than we are. That, you know, this idea that when we die, we're just the same person, but we're dead. But actually, you go back to the soul that is quite huge. And I remember talking to somebody that had a near-death experience, and he was coming back down to his body, and he was with a spirit. And he said, he looked at the body, he goes, that's too small. There's no way I'm going to fit back in there. Oh, also, people with near-death experiences, they talk about how their vision is so much better, their hearing is so much better, they can see in 360 degrees, and their thought processes are so much faster. They say things like, I just have to think of a question and I know the answer to anything. And, you know,
that they can't. Is that because it's so dense here on Earth?
Yeah, it's like the brain dumbs down. It's like the idea that, you know, that the soul could be the radio station and your brain is the radio. And the radio station could be putting out a fantastic signal. But if your radio is not great, you're not going to hear fantastic sound out coming out the speaker. Mm-hmm. And there's also that idea that if your brain is the radio, when the radio breaks and is destroyed, let's say when you're brain dead, that doesn't mean the radio station stops transmitting. So the radio station is your soul. And, you know, your brain is receiving information from your soul. And
also, if we're here to learn on Earth, right, and learn these lessons, if we came to Earth knowing all of the answers and having, you know, this lightness already in this evolution, there wouldn't be much for us to learn if we remembered it all.
Yeah, that's one of the things. It's very rare that people remember their past lives into their adulthood. Some children have past life memories. And, you know, you've got to come here to learn something. And I talk to
you. We're not conscious of it, but we have this pull inside of us. You know, there's some people that you meet that are just completely, I don't want to say lost, but they go through the motions doing what they're supposed to do and kind of testing the waters, never really sure of anything. And then you meet these other people, these other characters and personalities who just always have this inner knowing. You know, they'll say, I knew from the age of 5, I wanted to be a doctor, and I went to school and I did all the things, became a doctor. And they just have this clear knowing. Do you think maybe they're more in tune?
Yeah, they could be more in tune. They say that, you know, we have a life plan before we're born. And, you know, it's just a plan. It doesn't always work out, but it may be they have some contact with that. It may be that they were a doctor in a past life. It may be it's a kind of thing where they're an old soul, and it's almost like without them really knowing it, it's the experience of previous lives coming through and directing them in a certain way. It may be that doctors, you know, because they're healers, it may be that mostly it's old souls that go into that kind of profession because they want to help. I got this idea that younger souls tend to be more selfish and arrogant and bullies. Mm. And the older souls are not like that because they've lived lives where they have been bullied. And we all live lives where we're both genders. We could be gay or straight. We could be black or white. We could be living in any country in the world. And over time through lives, you feel what it's like to be picked on. And so when you're an older soul, you incarnate and you're much nicer person.
Yeah.
It's just an idea.
I'd like to believe that. What has, you know, touched you the most from all of the sessions that you've had? What is the reoccurring theme that, you know, that brings you comfort and you say, well, this has got to be true because all these people have this in common?
What I get back from doing the hypnotherapy, I get people emailing me weeks or months after the session and tell me how much better they feel for certain things, whether it's physical or mental. A couple of examples is there was a woman in Russia who contacted me because I do all these sessions over Zoom, and she had this tremendous feeling of guilt, and she's had it for ages and she just doesn't know where it came from. And we went in to do the past life regression, and she spontaneously jumped between three different lives.
Wow.
And in one of them, she saw herself as a doctor that went to help with a birth, and he realized that the baby was going to die and he couldn't do anything to save the baby, and he felt tremendously guilty. And another life, she found herself as an old woman in bed dying, and a teenager was sitting next to the bed, and she realized that she was the only family, and when she died, this teenager would have to go into care. But, you know, this was hundreds of years ago, and going into care then would have been terrible. And she felt tremendous guilt because she was dying. So, and there was another life. So we kind of pinpointed negative energy that's being brought through from the previous life, and we could work to release that energy. You know, when she came out of the hypnosis, she looked bewildered. And she said, "I don't know what just happened to me. That I can't explain it." And recently got an email from a woman who, she hadn't come to me for help with this, but she had eczema on her right leg below the knee. And it's a big patch, and she's had it her whole life. She's in her 50s. She's never been able to do anything about it, despite seeing doctors and trying all this and that. And in a past life, she was in a forest and she stepped into a bear trap, and all those, you know, those big metal teeth grabbed her leg. And that was months ago. And so she emailed me a couple of weeks ago and said the eczema is completely gone. Where that bear trap had grabbed her leg was where the eczema was.
But if after every life, you know, clearly we die and we go back to non-physical and we do our life review and we draft up another contract based on the lessons we need to learn, why would we carry with us some trauma or unfinished business from a past life?
I know, it's weird. It's like it's an imperfect system.
Is that what is supposed to launch our curiosity? You know, are we supposed to look at our bodies and say, "Oh, I've suffered with eczema or psoriasis," or, you know, "I have these strange conditions," or an autoimmune disorder? Is that what's supposed to prompt us? But because we forget, we don't.
I don't know. It's, you know, we could talk about it forever. Why this happens, the way I work with past life regression therapy is, it's an idea that it's your subconscious that brings these things through. And so we make a deal with the subconscious not to bring it through anymore. And we might talk to your subconscious and say, you know, you're doing a fantastic job and we know you only want the best for us, but this thing you're bringing through is not helping. Can we stop it? And that's one of the things that we might say during the hypnosis to help release the energy and stop the connection to the past life. But why it happens, you know, it's like that thing where children with past life memories might have birthmarks and little deformities. Why is that happening? Is it because our consciousness has a matrix of our body and it comes through from the previous life? It imprints it on the new physical body, perhaps by accident. It seems so. The lot of children that have that have died a traumatic death.
Yeah.
And that may be something that's really imprinted on them.
Have your clients ever been able to communicate with their ancestors when they're in between lives or their spirit guides?
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say 90% of the time when I do a session, the spirit guides will appear and come forward when we ask them to. And they come forward in all sorts of different forms. And, you know, I've had a lady say she found herself in a classroom sitting at the desk and there were 7 spirit guides at the front, you know, who are the teachers. And then other people might say they're just in a space of light. And there's an old man there with a gray beard who appears to be the spirit guide. And for me, when I've met my spirit guide, one of my spirit guides, he was a young man and he was dancing. He was doing the Macarena and walking like an Egyptian. And, you know, it's just so bizarre. And it was almost like he was saying to me, you know, you've got to lighten up.
Oh, I still get that. Yeah. I love that. And I think they're also, you know, tailored to our senses of humor and our, I know for me, I always say my spirit entourage has a great sense of humor. And those little whispers, we spoke about the whispers of inspiration and those moments of you get this burst of an idea and you're like, oof, I know that did not come from me. So thank you, source. But I find that, you know, they've got great taste in music. That's one of my things. Whenever I'm feeling a particular way, a song will pop into my head. And I feel like they have a great sense of humor. One of them does. And so do you think, that leads me to my next question, do we have the same spirit entourage for a certain amount of lifetimes?
Yeah, I think so. I wonder if, you know, you might have spirit guides that are with you through every single life, and there'll be ones that come and go. And of course, there's your soul group who you work with through different lives. And I wonder if sometimes there are soul groups where, say, you need to work on loss.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what that soul group does. And once you've learned your lessons there, you move on to another soul group. And some souls like really stick together. And so they're always working together through these different things. And
have you ever had a session where a client recollects, you know, either their child in this life or their husband in this life having been a family member? You know, for example, their son in this lifetime was their husband or their brother or their father.
Yeah, yeah. That's one of the things I do almost every session. We find somebody, they might say, typically say it's a Victorian scene they find themselves in, and a woman will say, well, I'm in the kitchen and I'm doing some cooking. And I say, okay, well, how about we take you forward in time just a bit? Imagine, take yourself to the dinner table and you're there with your family. Who's there? And she might say, well, my husband's there and there's two children. And I'll say, okay, if you pay attention to those people, do you recognize them as people that have incarnated with you in this life? And, you know, often they'll say, yes, I can see this child here is also my child in this life. That sort of connection. And so that, you know, that's something I look for, you know, every session, if there's that opportunity.
Mm. That's really cool. And what is the reaction? I mean, because it's not always going to be their child, right? If we're traveling as a soul family, we're going to play different roles, right? Maybe in a past life, like you said, I was a male figure. How do I recognize myself when I'm in trance that this is me and I'm a male energy?
Oh, you just know. It's weird. I've done it. You know who you are. And you know, sometimes your perspective can change. You'll be just like you are now and the way you see things. But other times you'll be almost up at the ceiling, looking down at the scene.
Mm.
And what's going on, but you know who you are in the scene.
Has anyone ever experienced traveling to a past life that wasn't here on Earth, that wasn't on this planet?
Yeah, that does happen. I've had it a couple of times with somebody said, well, we've got into the past life. And I said, so where are you? What do you see? And they said, well, I'm in this desert and there's nobody around. There's no houses and there's lots of rocks around. It's not just a sandy desert. And then it was silence for a little while. And I waited. And then they said, you know, I've got too many knees, both my legs. There's two knees on each leg. And my arms are all wrong. It's like I'm not in a human body.
So, and how do you guide them through that? Someone tells you this is all wrong.
Yeah, well, you just go with it. You say, okay, so, you know, what are you wearing anything? And let's move forward. If you could move forward in time, minutes, hours, or days, what's the next thing that comes to you? And, you know, we didn't really get anywhere with that. There was another lady who said she was in a cave and she was terrified. And she was saying, they're going to get me. They're going to get me. And I said, who's going to get you? And she was saying, well, they're kind of human size, but they're like rats. And I said, are they just like wild animals? She said, no, they're intelligent. And so that was strange. But we moved out of that scene quite quickly because she was so scared. And that's something I see in the Zoom calls. I frequently see clients in tears. But that's all part of the energy release. And afterwards, they'll talk about how fantastic they feel. And they're so glad they've been through it because they feel like they've released so much and they feel so much better.
Mm. Are you able to understand from a session what your role was in a past life? For example, you know, if you were a child in a past life who died suddenly or tragically, are you able to understand and review that the lesson for that lifetime was to teach your parents how to grieve properly or acceptance? Does that ever happen where the lesson is just so clear and the role we play?
Sometimes the lessons are clear. I haven't had that particular thing, but we see the past lives, and if somebody comes to me for a particular therapeutic thing, like somebody, I had a guy who had this pain in his lower abdomen that he's always had, and the doctors hadn't been able to find any reason for it. And we went back in time, and he had this life where there was all this guilt. And I said, well, where do you feel that in your body? And you're saying, it's down in my lower abdomen. And so we went through this energy release process. And then we jumped to another life where he was stabbed in the lower abdomen. And so a couple of weeks after that, he told me that the pain in his lower had dropped by about 50%. And he was amazed. And he said he sits there watching TV and he keeps poking himself in the belly because he can't believe how much the pain's
What is your biggest takeaway from the work that you do now with, you know, hindsight on all the breadcrumbs that you followed throughout your life?
I feel that we are all energetic beings, and we're in a process of rebirth and learning. And I also feel that whatever the afterlife is, it's not, like to quote Whitley Strieber when he was talking about this stuff, it's not stranger than you imagine, it's stranger than you can imagine. I feel like it would be really incomprehensible. So there's certain things you hear about the afterlife from all sorts of different people, but I think there's a lot more to it than we hear about, and it's very strange.
What is the strangest thing you've come across?
I've heard some really strange things, and it's one of the questions I ask my guests is, do you ever hear stuff that you think, no, that's just too bizarre, that's too crazy, I can't go there? And then months later, after more research, you think, hang on a second, that might actually be a thing, you know. And it's like,
what's one of those things for you? What's one of those things for you that after the session, you know, you were perplexed, scratching your head going, oh, I don't think so.
It's like people talk about angels, and I'm not religious and I never have been. And so to me, angels were a religious thing that would be the pictures of them in church. And I've sort of come to learn that angels might be energetic beings in the afterlife, just like us with souls, but perhaps they haven't been incarnated and they have a different role. And they're not in a white gown with big white wings, and that they're doing a certain job. And I was talking to somebody about feathers, how they leave feathers around, and then three different times I found a feather in really odd circumstances, and it was so weird. One of the times, the third time, I was with a medium, and I just talked to her for an hour, and she was in a chair opposite me, maybe 3 feet away. These were armchairs, and the carpet were in front between us. And the carpet was completely clear. And after an hour, I was talking about this incident I had with a feather and how it might be angels. And she says, oh, well, look down. And there was a white feather in the carpet in between us. And it had not been there for that whole hour when she was doing the mediumship. It only appeared there when I talked about feathers appearing.
So what are their roles, you think?
I'd sort of say they're helpers and they're guiders, but to say that they are like helpers might sound that, you know, it's like they're your waiter or they park your car for you. But obviously it's a lot more powerful than that and a lot more complicated.
Do you think that there's a hierarchy in the spirit world? You know, would it be like God, the ascended masters, the angels, the spirit guides? Is there such a thing in your opinion?
I get the impression there is, but I don't know if it would be like one of them's a superior, you know, like in the army where there's the captain and then there's the privates, and the privates have just got to do what they're told. It would seem to me that it would be some sort of a collective and they all work together and they know their roles. And, you know, people talk about unconditional love in that space, and that's how everyone works together. So there could be a hierarchy, and maybe like they talk about in reincarnation, if you learn all your lessons and you move on, you don't incarnate anymore and you're a much more experienced soul. So that might put you on a higher level than some soul that's just starting out on being incarnated.
Have you ever had a conversation with someone who, you know, while they're in the afterlife, they don't want to come back to Earth? They're in between lives and they just want to take a break?
There's talk of restful lives. They talk about lives on other planets where it's a lot easier than Earth. As I say, Earth's a really tough school. And I hear about a space in the afterlife, perhaps, where you can just rest. Near-death experience talk about this. Some of them, you know, they may be physically dead for 5 minutes and they're resuscitated. And they'll say, you know, I was in this space, restful space, and it felt like I was there 3 months. And they might even say, my near-death experience for me when I was over there lasted 2 years, but I was only unconscious here for 5 minutes. So wow. There is talk of healing and rest in the afterlife space and in other lives.
Have your experiences with being the client versus the therapist, has that brought healing to your life?
Yeah, I think so, because I never went for it as past life regression therapy. For me, it was just exploration, because I'm so interested. It's go along and let's just see what comes up, what past lives I've had. And that's something I offer to clients as well. I know a guy who's a past life regression therapist, and he just won't do exploration. He'll only do the therapy side of it. But I know that I always wanted to do exploration, so I'm happy to offer that.
That's amazing. And so your podcast is dedicated to your curiosity, I guess, right?
Yeah. It's basically looking for evidence of the afterlife. So I talk about near-death experiences, reincarnation, deathbed visions, psychic mediumship.
Deathbed vision.
That's a thing that's seen a lot by hospice nurses, or it's people who are dying, and then the last few days and hours, they start talking to people who are just not in the room. And it's actually quite complicated. And they see all sorts of visions. And it's like the veil between life and death is lifting, and they're able to see their loved ones coming to collect them. And they talk about it in weird ways, and they have dreams. And when they talk about their dreams, they say, it wasn't a dream. I was actually there. I was with my deceased husband in this meadow, and we did this and that. And there's a guy called Dr. Christopher Kerr who studies it. He's a specialist in a hospice, and he's got a great book out. I interviewed him on the podcast, and by talking to him, you realize just how complicated it is. But the phrase deathbed visions comes from a book that was written by a guy called Sir William Barrett in about 1920. So that's how long people have been aware of this phenomenon.
That's remarkable.
So I'm going to have to end the call.
Yeah, no, of course, I don't want to keep you. I could pick your brain forever. I'm so grateful that you're here on the show, and we'll have to do it again. Thank you so much for your time, Simon. And all of your information will be in the show notes for our listeners.
Thank you. I'm sorry I have to end, but I've got to go on to a session. And if you wanted to do it again, I'd love to do it again.
Yes, absolutely. Let's schedule that. Thank you, Simon. Have a great day.
All right. Bye then.